Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. And good day, good morning, good evening, good night, whenever you happen to be listening or watching me. Okay, so we're still in our sexual trauma series and how it affects all areas of our lives. So if you're like, oh, that's a little too heavy for me, go find another episode in the 400 and however many episodes I've done. Right. Now, if you're like, okay, I'm invested in the series, remember, I really want you to take care of yourself. Please make sure you have gone and listened to the episode of tools for when you're triggered or freaking out, so that you have those skills available to you in the event that as I have this conversation, that it may be triggering for you, that you can have the tools. You know, I don't want to trigger you without giving you the skills and the tools to handle it. Okay. All right. Here we go. Today's topic is how to deal with being triggered during sexy time. Okay, so first of all, where do I want to start with this? First of all, let's start with make sure you are able to, you've been mastering those three tools, the grounding, breathing, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Because that's going to be crucial for you to like get untriggered while you're having sex time. Because while you're in it, you may be thrown into a flashback where, you're triggered, but then you're not just triggered, you're also been pulled into the past. And that is very terrifying and very scary and can be very damaging for your relationship, because in that moment you feel like you just got raped again by somebody by the person that you're with, but they didn't. But because you got pulled back because you got thrown into a flashback, the partner that you were having sexy time with is no longer that person. They are whoever hurt you. And so then what ends up happening is that then your subconscious now sees that person who you love and who you feel safe, who you felt safe with, who you trusted, and they get put into they're dangerous and not safe category. And that's not the case. There was no control over, you know, you being triggered because of your trauma and being pulled into a flashback. Okay. So this is one of those things that are, don't push through it. Okay. So there's a couple different things. One, this is why we had the episode about when do you talk about to the people you're dating or hooking up, why you talk to them about your trauma. You don't have to give them details, but you just have to tell them that you have trauma. And if you know what it looks like when you're either in a flashback or when you're triggered, so that the person that you're with can pay attention to those key signs, because sometimes you may not be able to catch it in time. Eventually you will, as you get better and you get better, this, you learn the skill and you get better at the skill, you'll be able to catch it. You can start to be able to feel it happening before it's actually happening. But in the beginning, you may not even know. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're stuck in the past and you're in a flashback and you can't articulate. You can't ask for what you need. You can't say no. You can't say stop. You can't say any of those things because you're now 3 or 5 or 10 or however you were when you were violated. So your partner knowing that that's a possibility is great because then they can be aware of, like, what are you doing? How do I know you're still here? Right? And having a conversation so that they're aware. Okay. So that's the first part. The second part is to start to kind of map out when you are checking out. So often, the first indicator of, like, you're before you typically before you get pulled into a flashback, there's like a couple early warning systems, right? Your sensations, you may not be in your body anymore and it may not feel good, or you may be super ticklish, or you start thinking about other things other than what's happening. Like you're not in the moment with the sexiness, right? Where the sensations feel good and your body feels good and the arousal's building in your body and your arousal's building in you, who you are, and you're like, you're in that moment. There's almost like a It's almost like a film that comes over. And when that film comes over, that's a moment that you're gonna, that means that you're not feeling safe. For whatever reason, you're on the verge of being already triggered or about to be fully triggered and then move into potentially a flashback. Okay? So unlike, this is part of the whole, unlike when you were violated, you said if you were able to say no, sometimes you're not able to say no in those moments, but if you were able to say no and it was disrespect, like, and obviously it wasn't respected, then this is why this is important to be able to, and then you just had to endure. And you may just have had to continue to endure. If you went along with it, it wasn't as violent. If you didn't go along with it, it became more violent. If you went along with it, the predator or perpetrators often use threats of violence, and doing harm to people that you care about and love. So you go along with it, so you want to protect them. So all of those experiences where you were not allowed to say stop and it being respected. Because if it was respected, it wouldn't have been a violation. So this is part of this reclaiming and healing. And we talked about in other episodes about reclaiming your body and the body work I do and why, and consent, touch, and all this beautiful, all those beautiful things. This is another aspect of that where that's why you want to have a conversation with the person that you're about to hook up with or that you're dating. So that you can say, hey, I just need to stop for a moment. Give me a moment. And for them to stop immediately, whatever they're doing. And again, this is, it will be a great, really important episode to have your partner or partners to listen to so that they understand why this is so important. Okay. So when you're like immediately, you're like, hey, I need a break. That they don't take a second later or continue kissing or one more stroke or one more lick or one more suck or one more anything. The minute that that says, you say stop or I need a break, it stops immediately. And they physically remove themselves from you. And then they ask you, what do you need from me? Now, this is where you may not know what that you need. So you can be like, I don't know. Just sit there. I might be need to be alone for a moment. I might need a hug. I don't know what I'm gonna need. Okay. And it's okay. It's okay for you to say, I don't know what I'm going to need. All right. Stand by. Okay. And then you're going to use, we're going to use those, our three tools that you've been practicing. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is the first one. Then we're going to do breathing. And then you're going to do some grounding. And during that process, if you have tears, cry. If you feel scared, it's okay. If you're like, hey, I would like to do this. I need a moment by myself. Can you leave the room, please, for a moment? I'll come get you when I'm settled. And we can see if A, we're going to continue, or we're just going to snuggle, or we're just going to talk. I don't know where I'm going to be or what I need. Okay. So check in, because like when you're in it, sometimes having somebody just hold your hand while you're going, having your feelings while you're processing, or you're like trying to pull yourself out of the flashback, which is why we start with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, because you can't be in the past and have the parts of your brain that do word recall at the same time. So that's why we do that first, to pull you out of the flashback. Okay. You 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then you do your five breathing of five in through your nose, out through your mouth. So in through your nose, hold, out through your mouth. Okay. Till you're like, okay, I got oxygen, because you most likely were hyperventilating. So we got oxygen moving back into your body. So your nervous system's like, all right, we're not in fight or flight. We're safe. The body's settling down. The body's feeling safe. Your brain's like, oh, we're not in the past. And then you're just going to ground and let go of everything that no longer, when all the things, all the feelings, all the flashbacks, everything, you're just going to release it out of your body and into the earth to be burned up. And then you're going to bring in calm, safety, zen, whatever it is that you really need at that moment. And you stay there. You stay there as long as you need to be. All right. The point is that you are not responsible to take care of somebody else and what they need. You're in that moment. It's what you're here to take care of you and what you need. And the person that's with you've had conversations and they've agreed that they can hold space for you. And you've already talked to them about what does that look like for you. Like I said, people are different. I personally like to be by myself. If I'm pulled into a flashback, for me, I find I do my those three tools, and then I usually will then go and do some journaling to write about what came up, or I have a shower and I like wash it all away. And while I'm having a shower, I do inner child sanctuary work, which I don't know if I've talked much about that rewiring, reprogramming, reparenting, all that kind of stuff during this series, but I've talked lots about advanced inner child work. So I call it the flesh method. So go listen to a bunch of those episodes so that you can understand what I'm talking about, because this is where one is just to handle it, and then the inner child work is to fix it so that you're not actually triggered all the time. Okay, that's the healing. That's the recalibration. It's the rewiring of the brain, back neural pathways. It's all of that. Okay. So go learn about that, because then that's what happens. So in the past, when I would have a flashback, that would be what I do. I do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I do my breathing. I do my grounding. I like to do it by myself. I know lots of other people who felt alone and didn't feel loved, and really needed somebody to like hug them in that moment, or to hold their hand while they go through it so that they're not alone. That's okay too. I tend to deal with my stuff alone, and then I then reach out. And then once I know what's going on, I will share it with the person who I was with. And then I may ask for a hug, or a snuggle or a handhold, just to like reconnect that I'm safe and this person's safe and it's okay. Right. But that's how I do that. Each person's different and what you need is different. And so it's okay. And if there might be a it might be like you're going to do all this work and the person doesn't touch you, but you want them in the room. Or you want to leave the room, or you want them to leave the room. Or you might do half of it by yourself and half of it with some of them, right? Whatever. There's no right answer to this. This is about finding what it is for you. And then it's important. This is where I would say if this is happening quite frequently, then you really need some professional support to heal this. So that it's you're not being, because each time you end up being pulled into a flashback, and the longer you're in that flashback, it's like a reinforcing of a violation. It's like you're being re-raped over and over and over again. So that it was bad enough the first time that it happened, but each time it happens, it's like it's another violation. And so we don't want that. You already lived and survived the first one. There's no, we don't want you to be in it over and over and over again. So if that's what's going on, then you need support to figure out how do we break that cycle? What are the early warning system signs? How do we handle it? What do you need? What tools? How do we do our, the inner child work and the reprogramming, and so that you can feel safe? And so what happens is that once you get that, I talked about the inner child work. So once you get that all set up within yourself and you have your tools and you can start to feel. So right now you're just going to be like, hey, you're starting to feel like you're being triggered. You're just going to be like, hey, I need a moment and do your stuff. Check in with yourself. You're like, okay, am I feeling safe? Do I want to, am I horny? Do I want to explore sex time right now? Or do I want to take a break and then revisit this a little bit later today? And we can try a second time, try take two or take three later. So check in with yourself of what that is. And then if it's, yeah, let's try it, then try it. And if it starts to happen again, then you're like, eh, obviously I'm not ready for this yet. And if you're like, well, that must be horrible for the other person. Well, that's why you had a conversation so that they were okay with that. If they were selfish, I don't mean this with a negative connotation, okay? If they were not going to be okay with being a good support person and to love you where you're at and who you are, then they're not a good fit for you, which is why you want to have these conversations fairly early on in your relationship. Because healing from sexual trauma is a lifetime. It's not a, I've healed and now it's all better. I still, every once in a while, after all the years of healing, I'm still sometimes, I get, I might not have had enough sleep. I might be going through a lot of other stressors. There might be some stuff happening. I might be exploring something sexually wild and new. You're like, what is, you still can, yes, I can still find new things. Right. And I might end up having, start to get triggered. And now that I have all done all this healing, though, it doesn't mean that I have to stop sexy time. Very rarely do I have to stop sexy time. Usually it's just a matter of just me closing, being in a moment and just breathing and checking in. Okay, what do we need? Why do we not feel safe? And then opening my eyes and being like, oh, this is my partner. He's safe. I love him. He loves me. I like this. This is safe. I'm okay. And I might just have to say a couple of those things for, and it could be as quickly as a couple of seconds. And then I'm like, all right, I'm back. All right, I'm back in my body. Right. So sometimes, even now, that can happen because of the trauma. This is this awful part of sexual trauma, is that the wounds that they cause are very, very deep. And those are, a lot of them are scars. And you can put ointment on them and you can stitch them up and you can, but the scars are the scars. There'll always be some faint remnants of it. And that sucks, but it's true. And the whole idea is, how can you make those scars fade so that they're just slightly there versus they're a big gaping wound? And how do you live your life fully and completely and to the best of your life and able to love and feel pleasure and have sex and to reclaim all of the things that were taken from you? That's the important part. But people who are in relationships with us have to be aware. My next episode, I'm going to talk about how sexual trauma affects all the other areas that I haven't covered, and why being aware of those other areas and acknowledging them makes it so that you don't have to do a lot of dysfunctional coping strategies. So it does, and it sucks. But I do believe that you can have a really, I have a really epic, wild, crazy, sexual, adventurous life. And I have for most of my life. I've just had to like navigate it in a different way than somebody who didn't have any trauma, sexual trauma. Okay, so it's possible. The other thing is, we need to talk about knowing what your. So sometimes people remember their trauma, and sometimes they just know that sexually something sexually violated them and they don't remember the details of it. So if you remember your details of it, it's a little easier to be like, oh, when people lay on top of me, I feel panicky. Or somebody grabs me by the throat, that's not okay because that happened. Or, I was anally violated, so anal is a super, might be a hard limit for me. Or, there might be certain positions or time of day that may be like off your. Off your is on your hard limits list is like it's not available because of your trauma. Maybe someday when you've done more healing, you may be like, I want to reclaim that, right? But right now, just acknowledge it and tell the person, and so that there might be phrases. So we talked about this in our last episode of when we have this conversation, but it's important to know it within yourself. And sometimes we may not know, we just have a feeling. So, and you might have been ignoring all of those things. You might just go through the motions. You might get high, you might get drunk. You may dissociate, meaning like you leave your body and you're just like kind of like your consciousness is like floating around up on the ceiling and it's like you're watching it happen, like you're watching it unfold, but you're not really, you're like watching it like a movie versus you're in the. You're part of the show. And so that might just be how you've been having sex and having sexy time and handling sexy time and dealing with sexy time. And so you may not know what are those things that you don't like because really you don't really like any of it. Because you haven't really been experiencing it because it hasn't been safe. It didn't feel safe. It wasn't safe for you to be there, to be in it. So that's okay. You may not have the answers to that. I do suggest, though, that you reach out to me or somebody else who specializes in this, so that we can help you figure out what it is and what your new, how to show up in your sexy time without re-victimizing yourself, how to show up in your sexy time by being present, how to set parameters and boundaries and find your voice. All of those things are important. And you, if you've never had an opportunity and that's never been the case, then you may not even know where to start. And that's okay. It's complicated. It's very complicated. And other people that have never experienced trauma have no idea what you're going through in that moment or why you're not really, they may not even know if you're present or not. You fake a couple orgasms, you're good to go. They have no idea. They have no idea that it's anything different than what they think is going on. All right. So it's okay. Like, it's okay if you don't have the answers to these questions. That's why professionals, we've been trained. Not only have I been trained, but I've also lived it. So reach out so that we can help you because you deserve to reclaim this. You deserve to have sex. Because you want to have sex. You deserve to have sex because it feels good and you want to do it, not because somebody else wants it from you, not because it's what you think is expected of you in a relationship, or to keep your relationship happy or your partner happy, or afraid that you're going to lose your partner if you don't put out, or like all of these things. That's never the reason to have sex. Sex is for pleasure, giving and receiving pleasure from a place of respect, respect of yourself and respect of the person that you're having pleasure with. And so, if that's not happening from that place, and it, like I said, you may not know how to do that, and that's okay. It's skills that need to be learned. Okay. All right, so I think I covered so what to do when you're having a flashback, what it looks like before you're having a try to figure out what it looks like before you're having a flashback. Ask the partner to stop, take a moment, use your tools, then check in with yourself and say, am I horny or am I not horny? If you're not horny, then say, hey, I'm not horny. Can we try take two in an hour from now? Or later tonight, or even tomorrow. Okay. And it's important to come back to your partner to tell them what's happening. All right. So you do all of your stuff. Then you come back and you're like, okay. So I got triggered or I was being pulled into a flashback. If you want to talk, if you feel like talking about it, ask your partner if they can listen, if they can handle it. If not, then that's when you're going to journal and write about it so that you have had an outlet in which you've could express it and talk about it. And you may then wait, then you can go talk to somebody who's on your team that is trained to handle it and not internalize it and be like, now they want to go murder that person and blah, blah, blah. And now they're having a whole bunch of feelings. And now instead of being supportive for you, you're now like, it's okay. I know the world is, I just ruined your perception of the world. All right. So you depending, like I talked about this in a last episode. So go listen to that one about, some people are, you can talk about some things. Some people you can talk about all things. Some people you can't tell them anything other than this is what's going on. Okay. But it's important to talk about, hey, I did get triggered. I was pulled into a flashback. You don't have to give details. I'm going to need a minute and I'm like, I need a hug. I need to go by myself. I need us to go maybe outside for a walk. I need you to hold my hand. Because the person isn't a trained trauma tra tra trauma trained. They're not trauma trained. Try to say that fast three times. And so they don't know what to do and they don't want to fuck up and they don't want to get it wrong and they don't want to make it worse. So they need you to tell them what you need. Okay. Don't expect them to know exactly what to say, how to say it. They probably say something really dumb, not from a place, but from a place of love, but just that's probably what's going to happen. And that's okay. Because again, they're not trauma trained. So just ask exactly for what you need in the way you need it. And if they don't know how to do that, that doesn't mean they don't love you. You can just say, hey, this is how I need this right now. And if you can't, that's okay. I'm going to go take care of things by myself right now. And none of that was blaming, and none of that was just like, this is facts. I can't emotionally take care of you right now. You don't say that part. You're just like, this is how I need this, whatever that is from you. And if you can't do it that way, like very specifically this way, then that's okay. I'm gonna go take care of this. I'll be back later. And then go do your work. Go write, journal, call a friend that you have on that understands, book an appointment with your professional that you got going on. Reach out so that you can have a session, an appointment. Do what you need to do. Okay. But don't leave them hanging because that's really unfair to them. That's going to create more panic and anxiety, and then it's going to make sex weird, and no one's going to want to reach out. And then you're like, well, you never make the move. And you're like, well, because I make the move, I did it wrong. And there's all sorts of problems. So just tell them what you need. Okay. And again, reach out, please. I'm here. All right. The best way. Just a reminder, I'm in the middle of buying a house, moving, all the things going on right now. So the best way to reach me is just send me an email, gaia@succulentliving.com. Okay. And I'll get back to you and I can figure out what's the best way for me to support you and where are you and what do you need? I'll set up a time to have a little chat and figure that out. All right. Let's just take a deep breath. Breathe in. Hold. Exhale. Good job. Thanks for listening. I'm here. You're not alone. And you deserve to have epic sex. And you're also able to have epic sex, even if it's not epic sex, because you have a moment of being the trauma interferes in that sexy moment. There's ways, there's tools, there's things to do so that you can, manage it. So right now, though, until you learn all the tools and you get really good at it, when I just really want to reinforce this, don't push yourself through it. Don't shove it down. Don't dissociate, don't leave your body, don't do any of that stuff because it feels like normal or that's what you're supposed to do. What that does is I just want to really, before I leave, I just really want to reinforce this that every time that happens, it's like you're being re-victimized. And you already lived through it once. We don't want to do that to yourself over and over and over and over and over again. And if the person freaks, and one part I haven't talked about. So, what happens if you're with somebody who. Okay. So, often when we've been sexually traumatized in some form, violated, and we learned that our no's weren't respected. We stopped, I mentioned a little bit, we stopped actually saying no, so that therefore we didn't feel like we were being violated again. And what that means is we often picked really douchey, predatory sexual partners, and we didn't ask for we didn't say stop, or we don't like that, or that's painful, or I need more lube, or any of those things. Because if we say something and they don't respect it, then it's like we're going to be raped all over again. And we don't want that to happen. So if we don't ever say no, then therefore it's never a violation. That's sometimes how the brain processes and figures shit out. But it's not true, because you're just enduring the violation. You're just enduring the experience that's not pleasurable, not enjoyable, doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel comfortable. And if you can't say, if you're unable to say, no, not like that, like this, I need a moment, because you're afraid that the person's not going to respect that, then that says a lot that you shouldn't be with that person. That person isn't a good fit for you. Somebody who's incredibly coercive is not a good fit for you. Somebody who's like, oh, just the tip, or oh, well, just a little bit, or oh, what about a little bit longer? Or, if you're like, hey, I'm done, and they're like, oh, but I'm not, just can you give me some more, a couple more minutes? Or all of that is coercive. And if you weren't violated, then you could totally set your put your foot down and be like, fuck no, get the fuck off me. No is no, dude, or dudette, or whoever you're with. Okay. Be like, yeah, not cool. Get off me. But because of your trauma, you may not be able to do that. And you don't, and part of you doesn't want to do that, because some part of you knows that it's not going to be respected. And it's a way, it's like a coping strategy that I've seen a lot sexual abuse survivors do, is that it is this concept of just, you don't ask, you don't say no, you don't set boundaries, you don't ask for anything, you just go with the flow, you dissociate, you just endure. If it's painful, you just like, bite your tongue and just deal with it, and it eventually be over. You might fake orgasms to end the experience faster. These are coping strategies that many, 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 many sexual trauma survivors do. And so, this idea of talking about it beforehand and having your partner respect your, like, hey, I need a moment. And that might be like such a foreign concept to you, because you don't believe that there's anybody out there that will do those things. And I'm here to tell you there are. And they're amazing. There's some amazing people who will very much respect your boundaries. Once you find your voice and find your boundaries, and we find all of those things, you will choose people who will respect them. And all the people that you didn't ask because you didn't feel like they would respect it, you were probably, your intuition was saying, was probably right. So we may need to teach you how to not pick those people, that you no longer are attracted to those people, that you immediately recognize those people. There's lots of precursors to sexy time of that personality, those personalities. Course of personalities, the disrespectful of boundaries, trying to convince you to do things that you said no to, and they're like, oh, you just haven't figured out the right way, or whatever. So there's lots of precursors to that personality type when you're doing your vetting process before you have choose to have sex time with people. Which again is why we talk about, if you meet somebody one day, get their information and go and meet up with them another day. Don't let alcohol, drugs, the moment, all that kind of stuff. It's like setting that up, sets that parameter up for you, so that you can do the vetting process, because we may have to change who you're attracted to and all of those things. Okay. All right. Now I think I'm done. All right. All right. Till next time, we got one more episode in this series, and then I'm taking a break because this from this series, like, it's been heavy. It's been heavy, heavy for you, the listeners, heavy for me. My frolicky nature needs to drop back in. This was important. This series was very important. This is the foundation of how do you have an epic, frolicky life. Especially if you've experienced sexual trauma, it's important to talk about how devastating sexual trauma and how all the ways in which sexual trauma affects us differently than just regular, I call regular trauma, other forms of trauma. So it was important. But yes, there's only one more episode for now, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go back to some other topics that are. I'm going to have some wholesome topics. I haven't talked about the farm in a while. There's like some all sorts of new creatures to talk about the adventures of the farm, the wholesome farm girl version of me. We'll get into, back into, the sex side of life and the sexiness of life. And so, yeah. Okay. All right. Till next time. Breathe. Know that it's okay to say no, and you have a right to reclaim everything that has been stolen from you. And I'm here. Reach out.